It's the Tiltcast episode 577. Hi, Tuthu.
And this week, guys, we talk Helldivers 2, RoboCop Rogue City, and Yakuza Infinite. Well, stay tuned.
Knock you out.
No fizz. And we're back. It's the Tiltcast. It is an M-rated show. It is Sunday, March 10th, the first day of daylight savings time.
Fuck that goddamn thing.
What a balmy 67 degrees. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm tired. I'm really rusty.
And with the three of us, you're going to get about 30 minutes of shit.
Did you? Okay.
Some games, some news.
Did he?
We're definitely back. It's been a week. It's been an exciting week for me. Rusty is resting, and Jason is somewhere.
I mean, well, I'm out there.
I've been giving him all the signals, and I've heard zero comments other than I'm Jason.
I mean, yeah. It's been a day, let me tell you.
Thank you, Robus.
I just got back from a skating birthday party. Yay.
Man.
Did you skate?
That's a real question.
Yes.
And how well did you do?
I'm just imagining, you know, Jason crisscrossing with those man thighs in his blue jeans.
I actually do that very well. Thank you very much. Did not fall once.
Jason
would want you to displace a hip or something.
Rollerblades or roller skates?
Skates, because I didn't have blades in my size. Otherwise, I would have had the inlines.
Do the roller skates for a man your size just like you're like... skate. Does it just look like you're skating on little tires?
I mean, basically, yeah.
Okay.
Unless they're inlines, I mean, basically, yeah.
I just see Jason, like, whistling and then skating with his hands behind his back and, like, hip-checking all the little kids around him.
Yes. Right into the wall.
I'm a dad. I'm not that mean. Though, I do laugh at my kids when they fall before I pick them up. There you go.
I mean, that's part of the experience.
Jason likes to whistle while he works.
I'm just trying to beef up their durability, you know?
Yeah. Right. Is that how that works?
That is how it works.
Okay. I have to take your word for it because I'm never going to be a dad. So
I swear Jason's got like a lifetime subscription to the urgent care. So he's in urgent care like every other week with a different child and a different busted portion of their little bodies.
You're like, Jason, how's it going? What's it today?
I mean, it's not necessarily that bad.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
My children go to the urgent care because they're clumsy on their own.
So what you're saying is you don't have to push them, you just have to be present? Well, you know, this is the reason why I'm not around kids. You know, I don't Sparta kick them off of a freaking, you know, off of the porch or something. I'm normally good around kids, honestly. I really am. But
my kids love you, Rusty.
Uh-huh. That's just because I turn into a massive jungle gym around kids, and I'm not sure how that happens or why.
It's because you're bigger than children.
Oh, okay. Is that all it is?
That's generally all it takes.
I'm a big child. Is that what you're trying to say to me?
Kind of.
Okay. Well, I mean,
not that far off.
You're not wrong at all.
That and
I don't want to grow up.
Because you're a Toys R Us kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all three of us grew up Toys R Us kids.
I couldn't go into that place. I really couldn't. When I was growing up, I couldn't go into that place because my mom wouldn't take me there. Because it always meant that I was going to come out with enough toys for that, you know, it cost half of her check, you know? It was, Mom, can I have this? Mom, can I have that? And she says, you know what? No. It was an uber special thing for me to go to Toys R Us. It was a different time, man. Back when we went outside to have fun.
True.
What's this outside? Is that where it's bright? Ah, look at that heat.
Outside is where it's bright. Yes.
It's terrible. Man, these gummy bears are freaking amazing. I don't know why. I really hope these are the genuine gummy bears because I think I just went through like the entire bag.
Is it the golden bag?
You never know. You never know. Somebody could hand you some gummy bears and be like, "Hey, have a great day," and I'd be like, "Okay, this is great. I've never. I mean," and then you realize that they're special gummy bears. Halfway through the package,
I mean, yeah,
that'll make my day.
I mean. Are there nutritional facts on the bag?
Oh, I should have checked. If I said, yeah, there's nutritional facts on the bag,
then
I'm good.
You just need to look and see if it includes sucralose or dextrose. If it includes either, you might prepare to pucker.
Oh, yeah, you know, I tried to find those things a long time ago. Back when
after all of the classic Amazon reviews,
yes,
Haribo pulled them from Amazon, so you cannot even order them anymore.
I looked around for in a couple different places just trying to find them, because if they were made someplace, I would have picked them up, because that's a hell of a prank to pull off on people in the workplace, especially if there is a limited amount of bathrooms. But I was going to do that. Like I had a plan that I was going to buy the bag back when we were still doing around the table. I was going to open up the bag and share it with you guys.
I remember that.
Yeah. And, it was right at that time that they pulled it from sale, and I just couldn't find them anymore. It was not far, you know, far beyond the whole yeah, it was not far behind that. I was also did the Kickstarter for the potato salad. You remember that?
Yeah.
I never did get my potato salad, damn it. I spent $5 for potato salad, never got my potato salad. I had to go.
They told me I needed to go down
to Dallas or something like that to pick up my potato salad, and it's like, it's not worth $5.
It's like 11 years ago.
Yeah, dude. It was a long time ago. That was a long ass time ago. Yeah. Yeah. That's what happens when you become old and senile. You start reliving things like your past hit. Yeah, you know, your greatest hits. But yeah, it's just today. Today is just a damn Sunday on freaking the dumbest day of the year. The second dumbest day of the year. No. The spring forward, fall back thing. Yeah, this would be the dumbest day. Fall is the second dumbest day of the year. I'm pretty sure that just about everybody is talking about how dumb freaking daylight savings time is again. And then there's going to be a week and a half worth of up in arms about trying to change that shit. And then everybody will forget. And I never forget. I really just like pick a goddamn time. Thank you.
I mean, my body definitely hated it.
I mean, at least it happens on a Sunday. But it doesn't help those people who have like children with, you know, with perfect rhythms, and you know that mythical thing that I could never get back. So when they, you know, when they wake you up way earlier than you expect to wake up. Yeah, it sucks. For me, it's light. I prefer not driving in, you know, in daylight. I am the opposite of a night blind person. I'm a day blind person. So, I don't know, man. What's the shit? What are we doing?
Oh, playing
video games and chatting on the social medias. I see.
I've been reminding me of things.
I've been so engrossed in the game that I've been playing that I was double checking things, and Justin and I were just going back over the posting schedule.
I see.
Is
I
all.
See. So
time goes faster nowadays.
Yeah. Time does go fast nowadays. How is it that we start getting older and time goes faster? Fuck you, time.
I remember.
Fuck you.
I remember this this mythical period of time where you were like, hey, I can't wait to grow up. I can do adult things.
Well, and there's definitely perks, but it's just everything goes by so fast.
Don't get it twisted. There is perks. But there's a whole lot more that sucks about it. There's a whole lot more. It's like, oh yeah, I don't have to go to school today. I have to go to work and listen to other people and do that kind of thing. Can I just go back to school? And then when I did, school has a financial, you know, charge to it. Though I was never happier than I was on the very first day of college, going out and buying my my school supplies. I felt like a kid again. Jason remembers this. I think I came back with all my school supplies, and I was just happy as a fucking lark. And then, all of a sudden, the homework hits, and I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. But hey,
I mean, I got something that I never thought that I would be able to do, and I just get a decent stereo. That seems so mundane, but like, I even upgraded again. So
you will always upgrade that fucking stereo. You will never be satisfied until it is like a room that is specifically for the stereo.
I'm pretty satisfied right now. I had these little JAMO speakers that I got given to me. That's JAMO's like another brand of clips. And I decided that I wanted to get these other speakers that I'd already tried at my... I have a cousin that's my dad's age. He's the one that gave me those speakers. And he tried at several pairs of speakers together. And I was going to buy a pair. And then he gave me that pair. So I got a pair of 600 M's that pair really well with my Clip Sub. And got them in the mail today. I've been doing a bunch of photo editing today. And I've had that blasted out loud enough that you can hear it all the way down the street probably. So the JAMOs were like maybe a 6 or about a 6-inch speaker with a tweeter in it, right? And the Clips are a 10-inch speaker with a tweeter in it and a sub port. And they are about 4 inches taller. And they're beefier by a long shot. They are much bigger speakers. But I found a used pair for about $300. Went ahead and pulled the trigger, and I wasn't sure when I was going to get them. And I got them today. I've been doing a bunch of photo editing. I got one of my biggest projects yet, and I won't deface their good name, but it's for a band that's got about 200,000 followers. So I got a pretty good photo project last night that I need to work on more. And got a whole bunch of vinyl. My girlfriend just got me some more vinyl that I was listening to today. And then I've been diving in and trying to find some vinyl for several different bands. And some of the vinyl I want for certain albums is too expensive. So there's
because it's out of print.
Or just real limited runs, right? Like most of it's out of print. Like vinyl, even nowadays, it's not like they print thousands and thousands of copies. Even like larger bands, like maybe 2,000 or 3,000 copies, but there's a lot of little limited runs of like 300 and 400 copies of different pressings. And one particular pressing I want, had a repressing in 2018 that was a limited run of like 300. And then they had another remaster. It was a limited run of about 500. And both of those versions, if I want an unopened copy, run about $500 a piece. Which is too much for me to want to spend on a vinyl. So I bought the CD for $6. I don't have a CD player, so I run my stereo through a USB to RCA out on my receiver. Which, let me tell you, when you're playing Helldivers, it is crunchy, unless I'm on audio with Rusty. But yeah, it is super crunchy. Like in a good way with just directional sound and everything. It's even so much more separated than even wearing headphones when you've got a good pair of speakers. But, I was listening to shit right before we got on, honestly, while I was jamming out. I got another couple of CDs. I had some issues with Amazon. Like my girlfriend got me a record. I guess I'll say what it is. It's not a big deal. It's a Zayo record, and I really like Zayo, which is a post-hardcore band that's been around for a long time. And when I got it, it was a surprise. She just found it on Amazon, and then she knows I like them. So she's like, here you go. When I got it, she sent me a text. She's like, hey, did you check your front porch? I went out there because I wasn't paying attention to my doorbell. And the box was opened, except for just a tiny part on the end. And then the sleeve for the record was opened. So, like, the plastic sleeve on it was, like it looked like it had been cut open. Because it wasn't even along the seam. And the record was like halfway out. I was like, what the fuck? So I sent her a picture. I was like, what the fuck's that? She's like, I don't know. She's like, check it and see if it plays. And it did play. Everything seems fine with it. You know, I'm so ridiculous about it. Like I bought plastic sleeves for all my records. And then I've got plastic inserts. They're not plastic. They're a specific kind of polyurethane liner. Because I'll try not to get too out in the weeds. If you get the PVC liners, there's a off-gassing process that happens. So people that used to use PVC liners with records, over time, it leaks onto the record and then fills in the gaps in the grooves. So there's a very specific, yeah, so it'll make it look like you've got like plastic warp spots on your record and it just don't play. So I found a very specific kind of sleeve that doesn't do that and a very specific kind of like inner liner for it because a lot of records are in paper sleeves still and it's really bad for static. So these are all to help with static. If you get yourself a good record player though and you've got like I've got a static brush that I use on it, it's made out of goat hair. You wipe down the record, then you don't hear the little pops on the record. It really does sound better than a CD. And a CD, once you start playing on anything that's better quality than a Bluetooth speaker, Bluetooth or MP3s just start sounding like overcompressed bullshit. I even do like the ultra high quality streams off Amazon Music for different albums, and it sounds all right. But it doesn't sound as good as it, like, A and B in it to a CD, and then to a vinyl is just, like, it's night and day difference. Like, the best way to describe it, and I was talking to my girlfriend about it, is, like, it sounds whooshy. Like, your cymbals sound whooshy, and your low end sounds whooshy, and everything kind of blends because it's compressed and oversampled. But you don't notice it when you're in the car, because you got wind, and you got the car noise, and you got all that stuff, and so, like, that all kind of blends into all that mushiness. But when you're playing it in a room, like all of that stuff just is really apparent. And when you're listening to something with a lot of good separation and a lot of different instruments, like it starts, if you're wanting to appreciate it, then you don't want to listen to it that way. Anyways, I've been listening to music a lot all week while I've been working on different things in the house and playing video games. I've played lots of video games this week. Rusty, you're on the edge of, maybe dying. Have you been up to anything interesting this week?
Maybe dying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I'm slowly dying as we go along here. Interesting. Let's see. I'm thinking. What have I played this week? Oh, yeah. I played a fuckload of Helldivers. And I picked up a couple other games. I picked up Backpack Battler, which is kind of meh. Honestly, it's an auto battler where you just kind of like, you know how you have the Diablo style inventory management. Well, it's kind of a combiner auto battler and a roguelike run, type thing. And honestly, I just played one match of it and it was just kind of eh. But it's a thing. It was like less than $10. That's why I picked that up. And then of course I picked up Rogue Trader of the Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader. Was on sale. I picked that up and downloaded it, but I haven't started it yet. But yeah, I probably spent way more time in Helldivers this week than I really should have. Because there was a bunch of stuff that had changed. They had done a balance pass and changed the rail gun. They changed the breaker shotgun. They changed the couple other things. The shield pack takes a little longer to recharge, and they added like 20 more shots to the Punisher and the Slugger, which is kind of nice. Those are two shotguns that are like basically like pump action shotguns. But yeah, it was the gaming community went freaking haywire. The Helldivers 2 community went haywire with those changes because everybody was running railguns, shield pack, and the breaker. I mean, you just couldn't get anybody to actually change from that. They were too good.
Yeah, they really were.
I mean, once we started getting used to how to use the rail gun, it was not the biggest thing at all to take on, you know, multiple chargers. We'd just break the legs and, you know, kill them dead, right? It was just getting a little too easy to be able to handle certain things. And easy is like, yeah, you see like five chargers. Yeah, that's not easy to take care of them, but you still have the option to take care of them. With the railgun change specifically, it's no longer very easy to break off the armor on a charger. You actually have to go into overcharge. You have to hit it just right, and you have to overcharge it just enough so that it actually penetrates the armor.
Yeah, it seems like it charges faster too.
It seems like it, but I don't know. I've messed around with it afterwards, and it was all right. But one of the biggest things that I noticed was that the damage fell off really quickly, and you really just can't use safe mode at all. So I changed. I did something. I spent a little bit of time. I went down a difficulty rank just to get used to it. But I changed up my loadout, and now I use the expendable anti-tanks, expendable anti-tank rockets. And that is now my go-to. That's my support weapon, because one rocket will, you know, one well-placed rocket will take off the armor on the charger. It's only one round in a rocket, and you just basically throw that fucker away. You get two of them in a call down every 60 seconds. All right. So it's like, I'm never really hurting for having ammo for that. And I don't ever have to reload it, because I just fire and forget, you know? So I got to the point where it was, I would run this expendable anti-tank, and my teammates were relying on my ability to drop those anti-tanks and take out the armor so that they can take them down. That was just my job. It's like every time there was a charger, I had to take out one of the leg armors, and then they would take care of the rest. It got a little spicy when there was like four or five chargers, but you play Matador with them, and you just like ole and watch them run by. I had one run right off of the edge of the map at one point. Was on a map that had like a cliff, so I was right there at the edge of the cliff, and I just jumped out of the way, and it like yeeted itself off the fucking cliff. It was great. But yeah, it's been a thing. Like last night, I had probably one of the funnest missions I've ever had. I drop onto the planet with four people. About 2 minutes into that map, all three of those fuckers leave all at once. Like, network issue. Gone. I was on a level 7 impossible mission. I did that fucker solo. And on top of that, it was a 4-minute extract. So it was like everything had, all of the call downs were twice as long for all of the call ins. So, when you get to the end, the extract is 4 minutes long instead of 2 minutes. So I had to fight off waves upon waves upon waves of enemies by myself on impossible difficulty. It was intense. Like, you had five lives if you're running it by yourself. So I died less than five times, completed the entire map by myself. That was how I ended the night last night at about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'll tell you right now, I was jazzed. That was I'm like, yeah, I got this. I knew what I'm doing. And I was running the submachine gun because I was testing out different primaries. Helldivers 2 is fucking worth it. Every penny of, you know, it was, I've got like way over 100 hours into that game right now. It is definitely worth playing.
Yeah, I keep trying to get into my other games and I keep being drawn back because I'm trying to get stuff done before big releases and this is not going to happen.
Yeah, it's, there's nothing I can do really. I'm just going to play, you know, games as I get the time to play games. And I'm really enjoying my time playing Helldivers. So it's filling a massive need for me of like just crazy killing, you know, killing bugs, killing robots, just killing shit that I just absolutely fucking needed. So it's a thing. I have unlocked all the guns. I have unlocked all of the stratagems, and I have all but two of the ship upgrades. And I have all of the super samples I need to actually unlock the upgrades. I'm just waiting on getting rare samples to unlock the rest of the ship upgrades. And at that point, I'm done. Like, there isn't any, you know, any currency that I need from that point forward. So I'm level 45 now. So it's, and I think the maximum level is 50. So it's made me want to, you know, like go back and look at the original Helldivers again. Because, like, I really never gave that game a solid shot. But it was top down, so it was like it played different. But yeah, that's basically all I've been fucking doing. I'm currently playing the popular downtime game to play is the fucking, what is it called, Balatro. So that's my current downtime game right now. If I'm doing nothing else and I just need to play solitaire, might as well play solitaire with poker hands, right?
It is pretty good.
And weird jokers.
Yeah, that game's really hard to describe.
It really is. It's
poker hands with modifiers that you get from the jokers and from other cards and from weird tarot cards. And you're trying to get a chip score to get to the next run. And then there's additional modifiers thrown against you to make it even harder. Like all new hands are drawn face down, etc. Or,
oh God. Yeah. That's,
or you can only have one hand to win. So you have to get the perfect hand, or there are no discards. So you can't build a hand. You just have to go with what you have and hope for the best, or hope that you have a couple of modifier cards in your hand that will help you out.
Well, the current one, current one is all spades are useless. Yeah. So they have, there's no, I'm getting no help from the spades here.
It's a good game.
It really is. It's, yeah, this one's gonna suck.
So Jason, I know you've been playing a game that came out really late last year, right?
I have been, and I wish I would have played it at the end of last year. And I kind of wish you would have given it a little bit more of a chance when you did try it.
I had a pretty game-breaking bug.
I've been playing the absolute shit out of RoboCop Rogue City. I mentioned it last week that I bought it on sale, and I literally just started playing it like right before we started recording, and barely made it through the intro. But now I've played it through twice, and I'm on my third playthrough on the highest level of difficulty.
What do you get out of multiple playthroughs?
Just that harder difficulty. It literally just damps up the.
Do you carry anything over?
The amount of damage and the enemy AI.
Does it give you any? Do you bring anything over from the last game?
Oh yeah, you bring over all your skills and your unlocks, whatnot. Well, you bring over your skill points. They do whenever you start a new game plus. Only give you the amount of skill points you had equal to what you had at the end of your original campaign playthrough. So it still leaves you some skill points to earn throughout your new game plus playthrough of the game. And that's true even with your second new game plus. It just starts you right back at that same point.
Gotcha.
But like all of your... as you play through, what you do keep, though, no matter what, is throughout playthrough of the game, you get circuit boards and nodes that you can use to upgrade the Auto 9 handgun, adding different features to it, like full auto fire, explosive rounds.
It's still
of that nature.
It's still basically the best gun in the game, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's really easy to sit there and forget every other gun. Now that said, the absolute best gun in the game, as far as sheer just firepower for what you get that you can pick up in the second half of the game is the Cobra sniper rifles, which are basically just like Barrett 50 cals with explosive rounds, right?
But that's, you get those from killing enemies, right?
But yeah, you pick those up in the level killing enemies, etc. And then directly after that, there's both a grenade launcher and there are mounted 50 caliber machine guns, right, that you can pick up, that are pretty good, pretty fun to play with. The absolute best, like, play with, aside from the Auto 9, because the Auto 9 just gets to be a beast once you get into the higher upgrade tiers, is there's a sawed-off shotgun with pistol grip that you can pick up off of enemies or out of different armories later in the game. And it's just, that's just sheer fun of just single-shotting enemies up close. This game, takes place directly after RoboCop 2. So the original movie and RoboCop 2 are canon as far as the game is concerned. They wisely chose to place it before 3 and just ignore 3 altogether.
Yeah.
And kind of gives you the in game what I thought RoboCop 3 should be as far as my adult life, because let's face it, when RoboCop 3 originally came out, I was still a kid, and you know, anything RoboCop was cool as fuck. My sensibilities have since become well more sophisticated. But the so it ignores all that. So you're still the Peter Weller RoboCop. He came back and recorded brand new lines for this game, which is awesome. But the basic premise of the game is there is a new guy who comes into the city to try to take control of the games since Kane is dead. Taking up all the nuke distribution, etc. Game starts off one of these up-and-coming games trying to link to the new guy, which most people have probably played either via the demo or the early access release. Take over a TV station, and then you basically go in as RoboCop to kill all the bad guys and rescue the hostages. But during that mission, basically RoboCop receives a good bit of damage and starts having memories feed back into him, almost on repeat, which causes him to, in everybody else's thoughts, malfunction. And the game plays really heavily into that, and that sets a like half the premise of the game moving forward. Because basically OCP, one of the OCP managers is like, this shit's not going to keep happening, and RoboCop gets a chip installed that's supposed to keep him from malfunctioning, but the malfunctions continue throughout the game. I won't spoiler why, because the game's only been out for a few months, so there's definitely people who may not have played it wondering whether or not it was good. As far as gameplay and mechanics, though, this game is everything I've always wanted a RoboCop game to be. It definitely positions you from the get-go, even though you have a health meter, as a walking, talking tank who is more than willing to turn people's heads into exploding balloons and shoot bad guys in the nuts and remove limbs. And seriously, they amp the gore. Taeon, the developer, they definitely amp the gore to the level of, like, if you've ever seen the unedited, unrated cut of RoboCop, there are Paul Vanderhoeven amounts of blood in the game.
Yeah, the original RoboCop was exceptionally gory.
Yeah, and that's even the theatrical version's gory. The unedited version, which puts like 7 minutes worth of film back into it, is even more so, because the first scene in the OCP conference room where the ED-209 malfunctions, there's like 30 seconds of like just extra bullet hits and gore coming off of Kenny, because ED-209 killed Kenny. That's actually where the South Park guys got that. So
that bastard.
You're welcome.
That bastard.
Then like Murph, there's like a whole minute worth of Murphy's death scene that they ended up cutting out of the film. Because the MPAA said it was far too violent. A few other things throughout the film. Like I said, it's only about 7 minutes total worth of footage. But anyway, you think RoboCop and you think Starship Troopers, and that's the amount of gore in this film. or in this game. Sorry. I got sidetracked talking about the movies. But the actual play mechanic is think back to Wolfenstein 3D, think Doom. So you can't jump, you can't crouch, etc. There's none of that in there. There's no button to hide behind cover. Yeah, you know, if you want cover, you literally have to find it and move behind it. And you're just, whenever you're in combat, you're literally just moving through the level, shooting everybody who shows up. It is the ultimate RoboCop power trip. And the actual story is good. The interactions with characters throughout the game, for the most part, are good. You know, there are some super cheesy things where I think that while the writing's not bad, even in those moments, it's like, you could have done better here. But there's genuinely some parts that there's genuinely a couple of interactions that can get you in the feels. My main gripe with the game as far as characters is they took Lewis and totally made her out to be like RoboCop's mama instead of being a badass cop. All of their interactions together are super subdued and loving, and that's not exactly what their relationship in the movies was. So that kind of felt like a neutering to me. And then, of course, like I said, not all of RoboCop's added lines are 100% complete gold. I mean, there's even a point where you walk up to a kid in old Detroit, and the kid asks RoboCop if he can dance, and you can literally choose to do the robot.
That's actually kind of cool.
Oh, God.
As RoboCop, do the robot. And he just, the line to the kid is, watch and learn. Like, really? But there is an interesting side character. You end up picking up a murdered cop's informant, and he's throughout the game. He's actually a really good character. It is hilarious. All of the, like, you run into several heads of different gang members, and they're all over the top and great. And the main villain of the game, aside from the old man, the OCP president, is very written, very 80s villain. He is like that cross between the villain in Bodecker, the head of the gang in the first movie, and Hans Gruber, and just very 80s and thoroughly enjoyable. But the biggest enjoyment I get out of the game is literally just walking through levels and mowing people down. It is, bar none, the best just single player, not online shooter I think I've played in years.
Wow. That's,
had I actually played it before the end of the year, you know, if there wasn't some game breaking bug for me either, in the state that it is now, it would have been solidly in my top three games for the year last year.
Dang. That's high praise, Jason.
It is a very good game. I give this game a 4.7 on our rating scale. This game is excellent. Of course it feels short. It took me about 19 hours to play through the campaign the first time, and that included, all of the all the different little hunting side quests you can do. It has you go around, solve different murders, etc. For what I picked it up for, I spent $20 total between it and the little $5 thing you can get to get the RoboCop 2 skin for RoboCop, which is just, like a different coloring, and a blacked out Auto 9. It is well worth that money. I would pay full price for this game. I recommend you could pick it up at full price. I think between the two playthroughs that I've completed so far, the 40 hours total is well worth more than well worth the amount that I paid for it, just for the amount of sheer enjoyment I've gotten out of playing this game. I that first 19 hours was in Sunday after we recorded last, Monday and Tuesday. So, I sunk a good bit of time in it really quick. And there are definitely several surprises that happened throughout the game's story that I'm not going to spoil for anybody here, but let's just say there are plenty of old friends that you can run into. But I think it's a really well-rounded experience, especially for a studio that's not very big. I think Taeyeon's done three other games. I know they did the most recent Terminator game, Resistance, which I didn't play. That makes me wonder, should I go back and play that now?
I don't know, man.
It's not easy to find.
Movie tie-in games are kind of
all of their stuff
are hit and miss. Sometimes they hit, sometimes they miss. I'm not sure if I'm not sure if I'm in a RoboCop mood. you make it sound good. I just watched a little bit of, a little bit of video, and I think what bothers me the most about those movies were that this game and any movie tie-in game from late 80s, early 90s is the one-liners. They kind of grate on me. That might be just me being a fucking old putz, but thank you for your cooperation would drive me up the fucking wall after the first four or five times I heard it. So It's
no tolerance for one-liners, eh?
I really don't. I don't have that much of a tolerance for one-liners. And if there was a way for me to turn off, some of the one-liners that I get in Helldivers, I would.
Good, because you just heard them too much.
Yeah, it's just over the, I get it. I want to hear the call outs, but I don't want to hear the one liners. If I could just turn that shit off,
I like the crazy laughter when you use the flamethrower, though.
Honestly, the crazy laughter on a chick sounds evil. I don't know. It's like a fucking witch cackling over there.
Oh, but I will say there are two sections I did want to highlight that I almost forgot. Two sections of the game actually have you doing little called a mini game contest of sorts. One of them has you competing with an ED-209 through a portion of a level to see who can kill the most bad guys. And on the first playthrough, that definitely took me a couple attempts to beat the 209, but I wanted that for the additional XP award at the end of the level. And another one has you going through a bank with a SWAT team and competing with them again for who can kill the most gang members. But they just kind of add a little fun element to the whole game at what are basically the third and two-thirds points of the game. So it is fun if you find it on sale or you don't mind spending $50 for it. You can certainly wait till it is, but I definitely think it was worth the money.
I'll have to get through what I've currently got. My rating is going down a little bit on Infinite Wealth just because I feel like the game is padded out longer than it needs to be. I think it wants me
That sucks.
I think it wants me to care more about the story than I do. Yeah. And it's just a little bit more grindy that I'm up for right now. I think it's down to about a 4.25 out of 5 right now for me. Cause it's so long. I'm ready to be done with the game and I want to finish it, but now I feel like it's a chore to finish and I still got like 2.5 chapters left. Because I, looked up how many chapters are in this game. And then I got so much I need to do in the next few days, so hopefully I'll beat it before Dragon's Dogma 2. Because that's my major goal, is beating that. And I've got the Thaumaturge, which I guess I can talk a little bit about. I've played about 2 hours of that. It's a weird detective game. And what you do is it's a top-down isometric RPG where you get experience from playing the story and the combat. The combat is not that often. A lot of it is world building, but you're a guy that can essentially sense the thoughts and intents of people by touching objects. And then you have a demon that's like only that you can see that also helps you in combat, that also talks to you and helps you figure out some of the stuff. So your power is tied to this random demon. And you bond with, like, people's emotional, so, like, a lot of people's, like, crazier sides are tied to demons that are influencing them. And then you bond with the demon, and then that you take that ailment from them in that way. So far, it's really interesting. It's really weird. The combat is kind of weird. You got this long timeline, and a lot of the combat is based on finding ways to interrupt attacks so you can get more attacks in. I don't know what to think about it yet. I think I like it a lot, but it's interesting. I want to play a lot more of it, but I want to finish Yakuza before I really dig into it. And I think the game length on that's about 25 hours, so hopefully I'll get done with that before Dragon's Dogma 2 as well. I kind of want to have those two out of the way before I even start Dragon's Dogma. And I toyed with the idea of playing some Elden Ring, and I was like, I don't have enough time on my plate for this. So, yeah. Just March is just chock full of game, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, I'm also chock full of busy, too. But yeah, Yakuza, I'm like on chapter 12 out of 14 chapters. And it really does want you to care a little bit more about the story. And I even have Persona 3 I need to finish, which I don't think I'm going to finish that before I get to Dragon's Dogma. It's on the lower tier of those things. It's not that it's a bad game. It's just I've got a lot of turn-based on my plate. And Helldivers helps me cleanse the palate in between play sessions of those games. But I'm not playing it as hardcore as Rusty, because Rusty gets more enjoyment out of the randos than I do.
I do. Shit, this random shit just happens. And every so often, it's just like, oh, you know, I'm running a shield and they throw a fucking 500k bomb and it sticks to my shield and I just run screaming towards the person who fucking threw it. I get laughs.
Yeah.
I get laughs out of it. It brings me joy.
Well, I don't got much else to talk about for this section. Do we want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
All right, y'all. We'll be back, guys. Back.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. Sorry. Was on that, but I was a little late.
Yeah. And as we were talking about for a good 15 minutes of our break, Tyson's going to win. I'm just going to leave it at that. Jason here arguing for Jake Paul, who's fucking cringy as hell.
No, I'm not arguing for. I'm just saying I do worry that Tyson might be too old to last an 8-round fight. I actually hope Tyson just straight knocks Paul out in round 1 or 2.
I know it.
If this thing goes 8 rounds, I don't know if Tyson can win a decision.
It won't be a decision. He's going to knock Jake out by the second round. The guy has, like, you just watch the two train, right? You watch Jake Paul play patty cake with his technical ability, and then you watch the guy that's in the bodysuit practicing with Tyson because he's scared for his life. Like, Tyson's not going to play patty cake. He's also incredibly...
Every part of me hopes you're right.
He's also incredibly technical because he's the fucking goat, despite the fact that he bit off Holyfield's ear. The guy, the only guy he lost to twice, because Holyfield was also one of the greatest, right? But Tyson's scary as shit, and he's still scary as shit, being like almost 20 years my senior. If I had a summon, right, and I was in a bad situation, it would be definitely Mike Tyson. It wouldn't be Jake Paul. Summon Mike Tyson for me, because he'll just destroy whatever's in front of me.
If I had a summon. I choose you.
Tyson, I choose you.
I mean, I would take him or Holyfield, either one.
I'd take Tyson now.
I mean,
the only thing not scary about him is his lisp.
Right.
He has such a hilarious voice. Oh, but you don't want to laugh at him. If you're in the same room with Tyson, you're not laughing at that guy. You just let him finish. You got to like summon all of the willpower you have to not laugh at him because you know he'll destroy you.
Oh, he has the most high-pitched lisp I think I've ever heard.
That made me a lol. That's amazing.
Man, I hope you're right. I hope he just destroys him in the first two rounds. I'm rooting for that. I don't know if his stamina is there. If Jake Paul proves to have a chin, and it becomes a long fight, I don't know if at 57, almost 58. Tyson will have the stamina to go 8 rounds.
Jake Paul better have the stamina to be able to take more than 2 or 3 hits to the face, because that guy is a monster.
Oh, he is. And he will still destroy Jake Paul's ribs, no matter what. Like, I mean, that dude's not coming out of this undamaged. I'm not saying that at all.
Has he even fought a professional boxer? Like, everybody he's fought has been a mixed martial arts guy posing as a boxer. The long silence as Jason looks this up. Because I'm pretty sure all he's fought are retired MMA mixed martial arts guys in a boxing match that are not trained boxers. They're people that are using kicks and holds and jujitsu and, you know, like leg locks, people that are not accustomed to just striking. And I think most of them have been retired.
Yeah, I mean, he fought Tommy Fury, and Tommy Fury beat him in the decision. And Fury
is not a striker.
No, but he's a legitimate boxer out of the UK.
Yeah, but he's a mixed martial arts guy. Used to taking people down with holds and throws and kicks and some boxing. You just took like 2/3 of his armory out of the way of what they've been trained for. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to subscribe to Netflix just to watch that smarmy asshole get the fuck beat out of him.
Tell me how you really feel.
Fuck Jake Paul. Guy's a fucking loser.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. But yeah, it has mostly, aside from Fury, who's actually had a few matches on official boxing cards, it's mostly been MMA guys.
Retired MMA guys.
Fury's the only one that legitimately does both that he fought, and he's lost pretty convincingly to Fury.
And Tyson's not just a boxer. He's one of the top 5 boxers of the last century. He might be retired, but that's all he focused on.
No, he actually, I think arguably is the best boxer of the last century.
He lost to Holyfield twice.
Yeah. Well, but and Evander Holyfield
hadn't kept up with himself the same way that Tyson has.
No, but I also say Holyfield is most definitely, you could make the argument number 2. I mean, the man's record was 44 wins, 10 losses, and 29 of those wins were by knockout. Like,
yeah, but I think that Tyson had 44 wins by knockout out of a 50 or something crazy like that. Like, he had, I think, over 50 fights, 44 wins, and then the majority of those wins were by knockout. Yeah. And not that I follow boxing all that closely, but like, I do remember some of the greats. And I do.
Let's not forget that one of Tyson's losses to Holyfield was by disqualification because he bit the dude's fucking ear off.
That's true. Yeah, he shouldn't have done that.
Like, well, you know, you got pissed off. You couldn't hold it in.
He got pissed off because Holyfield was just that good and could also take a punch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that match was completely a draw, and it was starting to lean towards another loss for Mike Tyson. In fact, I think Tyson... Tyson never beat Holyfield. He's the one boxer Tyson never actually got to beat.
I know. That's why I think that he's better, but not by much. Like, and we're getting this.
I'm just listening to this all. It's just amazing. I have no opinion. I don't care.
This is just one of those things. You know, I'm all for people, you know, expanding their horizons and doing different things, etc. And I am considering how destructive Jake Paul, who was at one point relevant to the podcast because he was a gaming YouTuber there for a while, really just became a really horrible person. I still don't like him personally. I don't know that his boxing career is necessarily making him better, but considering he only started boxing in 2018, the fact that he already does have the skill to beat even MMA fighters, recently retired or not, those are some of the best athletes on the planet. And the fact they can stand with them is impressive in and of itself. So I do give him kudos for that, even if I think he's a shit human being.
Okay.
That said, we can move off of that and to another shit human being.
Damn.
Because according to a report by the Wall Street Journal this week, Bobby Kotick is now looking for his next dastardly acquisition, as he wants to purchase the possibly soon to be banned TikTok from ByteDance.
Let him have it. The trash platform. This is
being anyway. Contested. Why?
I don't know.
It's all right. So
there are definitely different investors and CEOs who will see the who will want to see it purchased by under a U.S. conglomerate and not banned just for the amount of revenue that TikTok produces.
I know it produces quite a bit.
It's.
I also don't know that the Chinese will necessarily be willing to sell it.
Probably not, but
They will after this. If this new legislation goes through and, you know, it can no longer be used by 170 million Americans.
I know it is one of those things, like, I could tell you that TikTok is a large portion of the traffic on our network.
At work?
Yes.
Damn.
And
does everybody have their phones on Wi-Fi?
Yeah, we have a guest network Wi-Fi, and we monitor our guest network, so we want to see what kind of traffic is going in and out on the guest network, and that is a large portion of the traffic on it.
Like, our workplace specifically bans it even on our guest network.
Yeah, it's And it's a that's a thing. That's one of the things that, you know, we can see. There's a lot of other sites that are blocked, but, you know, if it takes up too much bandwidth, then we definitely, you know, we block it. And I did an analysis and I'm like, yeah, yeah, this is eating up, you know, quite a bit of bandwidth. So use your cell phone data for it. But honestly, it's like a bunch of, you know, you end up, it's between TikTok and the, YouTube shorts and the Facebook reels, like all of those little like content pieces that are like less than 30 seconds long. It's really easy to get lost in that shit. And with TikTok being like a thing across, you know, that can actually pose a bit of a security risk. Like, you think, and that's the whole reason why they're, you know, wanting to shut it down, right? I mean, it's, you can shotgun blast interest points at target audiences and see what hits. And from that, you can infer shit, you know? And it's one of the reasons why I don't engage with TikTok. I don't have it on my phone, and I don't have, you know, and I really, you know, don't enjoy the whole, you know, shit that goes on behind the scenes, right? But, man, I also really don't like Bobby at all. And I kind of wish that he would take his golden parachute and fuck off. Because, yeah.
Hey, man. But multi-million dollar CEOs like that, even if they have done questionable things in the past, are extremely hard to get rid of.
I know. They're just parasites. And he screwed up a lot of things with Gaming Today, the loot boxes and live service games. I feel like he had a hand in.
Well, he was one of the... I won't say that he was the main reason, but he was a large portion of the reason why Blizzard went from being a respected company to a company that had a toxic fucking working environment, right? It was one of those things. Like, you think back to the Warcraft 2 days when Blizzard could say it's done when it's done. You know, this is before World of Warcraft, before they got stupid big. But still, it was a respected company for saying, hey, we're going to take our time with it. You know, we're going to develop a game. It's kind of like what BioWare used to be, you know. We're going to take our time with it. We're going to develop a fucking good ass game on it. And it's not about the dollar amounts. It's about the gaming experience. Nowadays, you only see that shit in, you know, some of the indie titles. And it's rare. It's a rarity. You know, and that's sad. It's real sad. Because you're like...
Everything releases broken nowadays.
Well, not...
Almost
not
everything.
Not on purpose in some places, but yeah, it's... There's a lot of shit that's, you know, that's broken, you know, right up front. And it has something that's predatory, you know, built into it. So it's... I'm trying to skirt the soapbox right now, so yeah. Stop me.
But for the most part, I mean, you are correct though. Activision and EA have been a lot of the big driving force behind a lot of what's wrong with gaming today, just from the social environment standpoint. But moving on from those depressing things, couple pieces of Microsoft news. Sea of Thieves is officially the number one most pre-ordered game on PlayStation 5 right now, with Microsoft's recent confirmation and announcement of release date for four of their exclusives to PlayStation and Nintendo. Sea of Thieves will launch April 30th on PS5. And, you know, I think that is one thing that is good for gaming. Let's face it, exclusivity the last 10 years has been a fairly negative thing. It's definitely become more and more negative as the years went on, just for the simple fact that they basically forced everyone into, you have to own, you know, pretty much all three, a PC, a Xbox, and a PlayStation, in order to play everything you want to play. Or releasing exclusive additional content for games on a certain console, I think, has definitely been a negative thing. So, you know, we'll see how Microsoft's grand experiment goes. We'll certainly know by the end of April, or by the end of May at the latest, whether or not all of these pre-orders are like new gamers to that ecosystem, or if it's literally just Xbox One players getting it on their PS5 so they can play it with more graphics. Not that that game really needs more graphics. And then the other bit of news is this week Microsoft confirmed that it has been hacked by what it says is a state-sponsored Russian group known as Midnight Blizzard. Apparently Midnight Blizzard got at unauthorized access to some of the company's source code repositories and internal systems. It says that they didn't directly access customer information databases, though there may be some customer details, especially from say support emails and the such that went directly from customers to Microsoft, may have been compromised. And they are currently still researching those things, and they are reaching out to affected customers as they discover them.
That's nuts. That's actually kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's a pretty big hack.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
But this hack apparently initially occurred towards the end of January. And so they say they've implemented several updates both to Windows and Xbox to try to ensure that any affected customers can't be accessed without their knowledge. And again, as they discover the specific customers affected, they're reaching out to them. But I mean, the fact that Microsoft was hacked this big is definitely scary. That's for sure. They're one of the more secure companies in the entire world.
Well, there's a large amount of, well, there's some companies that rely heavily on just the security from Microsoft, like Microsoft Defender and Microsoft, you know, the freaking Microsoft Antivirus, I mean, basically, if they get hacked, it's, you know, it's a large security hole that.
Well, is, them getting to Microsoft's source code repositories. Think of all the Windows Server products out there that could possibly be negatively affected by some of the source code that they got hold of.
It depends on what they get, honestly.
Yeah, and again, Microsoft's still not 100% sure as to exactly everything that they got. They're still trying to research that. So I'm sure more news will be coming out regarding this over the coming weeks and possibly months, because sometimes it can be very hard to dig through and find out exactly what was accessed. So,
Well, a couple of announcements. Ghost of Tsushima has a director's cut, and it is coming out on PC on May 2024. If you've never got a chance to play it, highly recommend it. And then Stalker...
Oh, that game is so good.
It is. And Stalker's Legends of the Zone Trilogy just launched on Xbox. So if you haven't played it, and you've got it on console, I don't know if it's on Game Pass. Maybe I didn't check to see if it was something you had to purchase or not. But anywho, if that's something that you're interested in, check it out, because the new Stalker game comes out later this year. If you follow the show long enough, you know a long time ago we played Outward, which is a weird RPG that was hard as nails. It was kind of like a survival medieval game. Outward 2 has been announced. No release date as of yet, but I'll probably be checking that out once it does launch, because I did have a lot of fun with the first one, even though it's weird and hard. It looks Docker like...
Stalker is not on Game Pass, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think it was, otherwise I'd have saw it. It looks like Epic's been unbanned from the Apple Store again. So they were banned for a little while, and now they just got unbanned. So for all of you iOS people wanting to play Fortnite, there you go. I don't know what happens with the monetization or if it's more expensive, etc. But if you've got a kid playing Fortnite on a phone, then there you go. More interesting news is we've got stuff releasing this month, right? We've got, well, honestly, we've got the Thaumaturge just launched earlier last week. You've got, trying to see, Hi-Fi Rush on PS5 on the 18th of March. Hades is going to be on iOS via Netflix as of the 19th of March. Let's see, Dragon's Dogma 2, which is really the big release, is coming out on the 22nd of March.
I have that pre-ordered now.
Yeah, I'm about to do the same. South Park Snow Day is also going to be on everything on the 26th of March. Not sure what that's going to be like. And I think that's probably the biggest things. If you're curious, you can download for free off Steam the character creator for Dragon's Dogma, and there are some pretty interesting things you can do in that. I've seen some pretty crazy
amalgamations,
yes, thank you, of different characters in that. So,
What was the best one that I saw? Oh, God. It was,
you can stretch necks and all sorts of things.
Yeah, there was some crazy ones in there.
So Snow Day is a direct follow-up to Stick of Truth and Fracture Butthole.
Oh, something I did forget to mention. Rooster Teeth is closing the doors. They're still going to do their podcast, but after 20 years, they're closing the doors.
That's an end of an era kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like...
Yeah. Well, yeah. Warner Brothers Digital announced last week that they're pulling all of Rooster Teeth's games.
Yeah, they also announced that they're
no longer for purchase.
They also announced they're pushing forward with live service games versus single player, which hasn't worked out so well for them so far with Suicide Squad.
Right.
I don't understand it. They had no... Just take take controversy out of it, like Hogwarts Legacy was like the biggest single player game last year, and that was published by Warner Brothers. Like, and then they released a live service game that nobody really wanted and pushed That's a studio that had done fantastic single player games into a live service game. And what would you know? That live service game is basically dead right now and already 30% off. Nobody wants to play Suicide Squad right now. They want to play fucking Helldivers.
Well, okay. Well, if you look, you have to look at it from their business perspective.
Yeah, we're going to do more of the thing that failed.
They're going to look at which one will actually sell more DLC or microtransactions. Live service has always been a higher microtransaction market than a single player game. Like, I'm not going to show off my snazzy fucking like wizard threads to anybody else but me. But if I wanted that fucking, if I want that damn costume that makes fucking Harley Quinn just like jiggle in all the right ways, then I'm going to be able to show that off. You know, even if that game is dead as fuck, you know, I think Arrowhead actually, did the right thing with Helldivers and monetization. Yes, it's a live service game. Yes, you do have the option to purchase the super bucks or whatever, but I've never purchased the super bucks once. I've gotten everything that I've wanted off of the fucking store just by playing the game. And their standpoint was they have to earn the ability to ask for people's money before they ask for people's money.
Yep.
And I think that more companies need to understand that and build that into their game. Otherwise, there's going to be a microtransaction burnout. And nobody's going to buy that shit. And I wait for that day. I wait for the fucking day that eventually we're just going to, the gamers as a whole will just stop buying fucking microtransactions and, doing that shit, because it's just burned. You just get burnt out on it. Think of, there's an entire industry of mobile games that's built off of that. The games are free. You may pay the microtransactions, right? And that's how they monetize. Games that are $60 should be, should not have that kind of monetization. So it's just a thing. We're gonna see it. I'm hoping that we actually see it sooner rather than later. But I'm gonna pass out. My eyes are crossing here. So
yeah. Well, y'all, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/TheRealTiltcast. And search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find friends of the show. You've got For the Love of Gaming. You've got bmfcast.com and tvgp.tv. They also like Helldivers. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right. Peace.